baptism. The act of water baptism is a very important step in the Christian life. The water baptism, that's being immersed in water in response to receiving salvation. Water baptism symbolizes the believer's total trust in and total reliance on the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as a commitment to live obediently to Him. It also expresses unity with all the saints, with every person in every nation on earth who is a member of the body of Christ. Water baptism conveys this and more, but it is not what saves us. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You are saved by grace through faith. So when you spoke with your mouth, confessing Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, the born-again experience, this is spiritual baptism. And it takes place before water baptism. When you asked Jesus into your heart, when you became born again, you were spiritually baptized into Christ. And in Galatians 3, 26-28, for you are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, spiritual baptism, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. When you were saved, you were spiritually baptized into His body. That's the church, the ecclesia. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who is doing the baptizing, and it takes place when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Spiritual baptism. Okay. Baptism in water then follows. It is an outward representation of these inward realities. It identifies you as one of His disciples. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, this is where John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. When we get water baptized, He will also be well pleased in you because of your obedience. The Lord Himself, Jesus, He comes to His cousin John to be baptized in order to fulfill all righteousness. Meaning, He was coming to fulfill the Father's will. Jesus then goes on to establish baptism as an eternal ordinance for His church, calling every believer to follow in His footsteps. Jesus tells us to go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It is a command from Jesus, not a suggestion. It's a command. In biblical symbolism, water represents, though, an inner cleansing. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 24, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. That's called inner cleansing here. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 26, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her. He gave Himself for the church, for all of us, that He might sanctify and cleanse her, the church, with the washing of the water by the word. Again, inner cleansing it represents. Now, verse 26 tells us that we are cleansed with the washing of the water by the word. There are things that will be cleansed, things in our minds, things that deal with conduct, things that have to do with character and attitude, that are cleansed by water. The word water here is symbolic, referring to the Word of God, as well as to the Holy Spirit. It also represents spiritual rebirth. In John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I did not say that. Jesus said that. So we see from our Bible that water represents inner cleansing and spiritual rebirth, both of which are central themes to water baptism. Water baptism is a symbol designed by God to identify a person as a disciple of Jesus Christ. That just means disciplined follower. However, I use that word symbol here with caution for you. To say that it is just a symbol takes away from the depth and the beauty of water baptism. Baptism is a symbol, but it is so much more than just that. Water baptism is, in essence, a funeral. It's an act of faith in which we testify both to God and to the world that the person you were before is dead and buried, and you are raised in a spiritual newness of life in Christ. Romans 6, 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The Greek word for newness here is kenotes. Is that anything close, that the way I pronounce them in the Greek to Italian? Michael's saying, hey, you butchered enough, Jack. Just keep going. Praise God. Kenotes. And it means the new state of life in which the Holy Spirit places us so as to produce a new state which is essentially eternal life. It is eternal life. You are raised from the spiritual death to spiritual life. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. That is called resurrection life. Resurrection life. It's in you. It is in you. That's powerful. It raised Jesus from the dead. He is the resurrection and the life. You're born again. He lives in you. And if he lives in you, resurrection life lives in you. In the church of Paul's day, immersion was the usual form of baptism. That is, new Christians were completely buried in water. They understand this form of baptism to symbolize the death and burial of the old way of life. Coming up out of the water symbolizes resurrection to new life with Christ. And as Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The word baptize is the English form of the Greek word baptizo. It means to immerse, to submerge as a sunken vessel. I think you've seen that a lot of pictures. To cover wholly with liquid. To plunge beneath, to bury into. It never means to sprinkle or pour. It's not in the Bible. Sprinkle, sprinkle. Pour. Mm-mm. This is how you're supposed to do it. In water baptism, the believer is put completely under the water, then immediately raised up out of the water. This is how it was done with Jesus, and this is how it is to be done with us. Water baptism for the believer is a statement of faith. My old life is done. A change so drastic that the old person is buried. Water baptism is a way of giving testimony to what has happened inwardly and a clear commitment to turn from the old life. Water baptism is for your benefit. It's not for God's benefit, for yours. Water baptism outwardly demonstrates what has happened inwardly to you. Water baptism helps you grasp the reality of the spiritual truth that the old you is dead. Water baptism is only as important, as the recipient believes it is. For me, it was. Well, very important. Probably heard me tell the story many times. I'll make it quick. Right from the pulpit was taught about water baptism Sunday morning. Water baptism was going to be in the evening. I, at the time, was working for the steel mill. I was on the afternoon shift. Well, I was going to work. It's my job. Okay? This was July when they were having water baptism, beginning of July. I got saved April. April, May, June, and July, beginning of July. 3 months. But in that 3 months, so much had changed in my life. So many drastic things. God was cleaning. When I accepted Christ, I was so dirty and so filthy. Yet when I was asked to take him into my heart, I did. And all that filth was cleaned up. No more smoking, no more drinking, no more drugs. Everything was gone. He just took it away. He didn't say, before you come to get saved, you got to quit smoking, you got to quit drinking. No. He took care of it all. He wanted me just the way I was. He said, it's my job. I'll handle it. Told everybody else, you leave this man alone. I'll take care. And he did. Well, to get back to it, so he taught that morning when that was taught, that message, and I was going to work. And it was weighing on my heart all day long after church. Now, I got to get in the car and I got to drive because I got to be in Pittsburgh. I drove and I got from my house to my office. It was 42 miles one way. I'm pulling up to the guard shanty where you enter in. Now I'm pulling up with my car, and I says, I can't do this. I got to get baptized. I turned around. I drove all the way back home. Now you figure, there's a guy waiting for me to come in and tell him, you know, what's happening. I'm taking over for you. I'm going to relieve him. Well, I drive all the way back home now. I'm walking in the door. This is before cell phones. Okay? Yeah, I'm old. Okay, so anyhow, I got to go in and pick up the phone. And believe it or not, it was push button. We had moved up to that. Huh? So I called, and the gentleman's name was Frank Palmieri. Never forget. And you just had to know Frank. But I like Frank. I called Frank, and he was older than I was. And I said, Frank, he said, yeah, Rob. I said, I'm not coming in. I'm reporting off tonight. Oh, man, he started. And he says, well, what's the matter? You sick? And I said, no. What do you mean you're not sick? I said, no. I says, I'm going to get water baptized tonight. He said, praise God. That's what his comment was. I said, what? And I had no idea where Frank Palmieri stood in his faith. I know at that time, I didn't look at those kind of things. But after that, boy, I tell you, I had the daily bread every time he turned around and got a new one. He made sure I had a copy of the daily bread. He was going to enforce it. But I came, and that's how important it was for me, to turn around and come back because God impressed upon me. You're going to show people where you stand right now. And I couldn't wait for another water baptism. I wasn't going to let this one get by me. And I got baptized. And they actually, there's pictures that I have at home that they took a picture before I went down. And when I came up, they took a second picture. And if you look at them, you'll say, there's two different complete countenances, two different people it looks like. It's amazing. It's an amazing experience. Water baptism is your confession of public commitment. It is not something you must do to impress God, but something to impress on your mind what happened to you inwardly. Water baptism is for your benefit. See, it lays here. And that's why it meant so much to me when I did it at that time. And I still do. I can tell a story because I relate to it. Water baptism makes a difference. I can talk to many that, I mean, right there's a couple of people sitting there saying, water baptism. You know, it's like you're born again, you're saved. But you didn't seal the deal yet. You know, seal the deal when you get water baptized. Water baptism is that important. Jesus makes sure, he's letting you know, it's that important. It is that important. Being baptized is a command from God, not an option. It is an act that God requires of every believer. In fact, it is found among Jesus' last words recorded on the earth. Matthew 16:15-18. And Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. I don't want to ever be there. I know that. And these signs will follow those who believe. These are signs that will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Again, Jesus said that. You can lay hands as a believer on the sick. And if you are expecting a miracle to take place, it will take place. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Now think about that for a moment. Jesus' very call to believe on him includes a call to be baptized. If he puts it into that category, he must see it as being something very important. Wouldn't you agree? You never read of an unbaptized Christian anywhere in the Bible. In fact, baptism immediately followed a person's salvation. They didn't see it as something to be delayed or put off. There are several conversions described in the book of Acts. I'm not going to read them all, but Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 9, the Apostle Paul's conversion. It says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. As the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, saying and hearing a voice, but they didn't see anyone. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no more, and he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. In the symbolic language of the Bible, a 3-day period points to an act of divine intervention which impacts salvation. And the salvation history. Jonah, 3 days in the belly of the whale, right? 3 days and 3 nights. Jesus, 3 days and three nights in the grave. Divine intervention. So Paul's there, and God has to get somebody to go minister to him. He didn't just pick anybody. He picked a man by the name of Ananias. You notice this is an interview. He actually named him, so we know there was such a person, Ananias. But you got to remember, Paul was killing Christians and taking them to prison. God said, Ananias, I want you to go minister to Paul. Whoa, me? Wait a minute. You know what he does? You know the paperwork he got? He's allowed to do this because they signed an executive order? Well, Ananias, he said, okay. He knows you got to listen to God when God speaks. So what he did was he went over to see Paul. And he says, and he laid hands on Paul. And he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. How is he going to do that? Believers will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. By the laying on of hands by a believer who was also baptized, by the way, Ananias. He was baptized. He laid hands on Paul. It says, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. Saul received the healing for his sight and was filled with the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands. And Saul, who was yet to be Paul, sealed the deal, because it says, and he arose and was baptized. Was baptized. The first thing the Apostle Paul did after his conversion was to be baptized. Now in Acts chapter 2, verse 38-41, I'm not going to read it. Should though. Peter's first preaching gig after he was filled with the Holy Spirit. His sermon was so anointed and powerful. And the first thing he instructs the people to do that day was to repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And in verse 41, it said, they gladly received his word and were baptized. And it said, 3,000 that day came to God. Man, they was out there a long time baptizing, I'm telling you. Praise God. But there also, you can look up, there's Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48, Acts 16, 13 through 15, Acts 16, 27 through 33, Acts 18, 8, Acts 19, 1 through 5. There's just a few. That's in the book of Acts. There are several other accounts in the Gospels. I couldn't let that slide because my brother would say, hey, wait a minute, what about all the modern ones? He studies the Bible. In each of these, you will notice, though, that the same sense of urgency that is attached to water baptism. These people all responded in simple faith to be saved. However, they did not see their faith as complete until they had obeyed God by being baptized. Now, keep in mind that faith without works, corresponding actions, is dead. A living faith produces an obedient heart, and water baptism is to be our first act of obedience. That's why when you asked that, my heart went out, and it was going to happen no matter what. In John, 1 John 2, 3 through 4. And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. Baptism is a very special way of God communicating his love to us. And what's love got to do with it? Boy, what's love got to do with it?
Everything.
That's right. When we receive God's saving grace, it's no accident that he calls us to identify with him in a way that makes it real to us. Water baptism is a very powerful reminder of God's wonderful grace. The person that we were before is dead forever. And we are raised with Jesus as a totally new creation. If you have absolutely right now, and you're thinking, what do I get out of this? Well, let me just tell you something. You have absolutely nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. And everything to gain by following Jesus in water baptism. See, ultimately, it goes back to Jesus' statement in John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. I'm going to pause right here because if somebody has come today and has never been water baptized, and you're not on the list, you decide on your heart because it's happened. It happened to me. But it happened here. And if you decide, I want to be baptized. When we're done, I will not shut down. I will let you go home and get a change of clothes. And I will stay here to make sure that you can be water baptized. It makes it more real to you, your relationship with Christ. Baptism is a simple but profound act of obedience that you will carry with you for the rest of your life. Of course, we can't take baptism without first embracing the reality of what it represents, a living relationship with Jesus Christ. Without that, baptism is merely getting wet. That's all there is to it. That's what water baptism is. Water baptism is for the believer. Got Jesus in your heart, you're ready to go. And I know that our candidates who are here today to be water baptized have Jesus in their heart. So with that, I'm going to end right there, my friend. And I'll let